This is Primetime on KTEP, a program that focuses on economic development, mobility, security, and quality of life issues in El Paso and surrounding areas.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayub, Thunderbird Management Consulting, your host for El Paso Primetime. And today we have with us representatives for the very first time, but not the first time we've had someone representing the organization on our show. And I speak of William Beaumont Army Medical Center, formerly known as William Beaumont General Hospital. We have Colonel Wendy Gray, Commander of Beaumont, and Command Sergeant Major Skaggs. Thank you all both for joining us today.
Sir, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and just share a little bit about William Beaumont, the amazing team that we have, and all the services that we provide, not just our beneficiaries, but to the community. Yeah. Happy to be on the show.
Thank you. I had the privilege, along with a few of my colleagues, to come out and meet with you a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
And even though I thought I was fairly well informed, I learned so much more about what you all do at Beaumont. Before we get into that detail that I think our audience will want to hear about, if you wouldn't mind just giving us just a brief summary of your role in the Army, how you got to where you are today here.
Oh, that's a little long narrative, but to shorten it down a little bit.
Give us the short version.
I am a family nurse practitioner by trade, so a nurse corps officer, who's just had the plethora of opportunities to just expand, to grow, and to broaden anything that I possibly imagined that I could. Prior to coming to William Beaumont, I was the chief of staff of Medical Readiness Command West in San Antonio, Texas, where I was fortunate to be around an amazing team and was under a phenomenal mentor who just definitely poured into me and allowed me to focus on something bigger than myself, just a phenomenal team. So was just excited to be able to join Beaumont and to be able to share in that and move forward the organization in a positive trajectory.
Well, thank you. Well, Command Sergeant Major, how are you going to do that for me?
Yeah, no, hard act to follow. So no, I originally came in the Army, in the Texas Army National Guard in the early 90s, enjoyed it a lot and decided to come in the active duty. I grew up as a medic in operational line in our operational forces. I've had some experience in our academic arena where we train some of our medical technicians at Fort Sam Houston, San Antonio. And then now I have the pleasure of just being part of this amazing team, part of the William Beaumont family.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for sharing all of this with us. And now to the meat on the bone, which is talking about this incredible facility we have in our community at Beaumont. So if you wouldn't mind just beginning, I think most people probably know where this gigantic facility is. Ooh. That stands out on the horizon on the east side, but in case you don't, it is located almost at the intersection of Spur 601 and Loop 375. But it's so much more than just this gigantic facility. So perhaps you could just share with us a little bit about the many services and the many facilities that are under your purview.
Sir, absolutely. So we're approximately, I would say, a 50-bed facility. We have inpatient mental health unit. We have a med-surgical unit. We have ICU capacity and capabilities. Our specialty services range from cardiology, neurology, rheumatology, plastics, general surgery, orthopedic surgery. And so we just have a wealth and breadth of services that we provide. We're a 10-room OR. And so we have a lot of capabilities and capacities across the organization to service our customers. Alongside with that, we do partner with our VA partners, and they do have a new facility that's opening up on our campus. They are set to bring in their first patient in around 2029. And so the facility is going to be beautiful. So when you see us, you will definitely see that building going up on the horizon. And they're on time for the most part. So definitely expecting their first patient to come in in around 2029. Underneath us, we have a few other clinics. We have the East Bliss Clinic. We have the Mendoza Family Care Clinic that also has a Soldier Family Medical Clinic embedded in within them. We have the Rio Bravo Community-Based Medical Home on the Near East Side. And we have McAfee Health Clinic, along with the dental clinic out at White Sands Missile Range. So a lot of opportunity to touch a lot of patients or beneficiaries and just to service the community.
So I'm going to chime into something that I think we should all be proud of as a community. I know the two of you are. And for those who don't deal with hospitals, this may be a foreign language to you, but there's something known as the Joint Commission Accreditation, which every hospital anywhere in the country has to get through in order to be able to continue operating. So if you wouldn't mind first talking a little bit about that process.
Ooh.
And then telling our audience all the good news about how you all rate it.
Okay, so Joint Commission. So for those who are affiliated with any other medical facilities out there, Joint Commission is another body that we actually pay to come into our facility to scrutinize what we do, how we do it, and ensure that we're one of the top tier facilities. And so we were fortunate enough to have them come to our facility in October of 2025 during one of the government shutdowns. So I put that out there because this was a time where a lot of our folks were not getting paid. However, that did not stop them from coming to work and servicing those beneficiaries that were honored to serve every single day. And in the midst of that, we did very, very well. Very, very well. And so when I say very well, we had about 11 findings total. And so for a hospital our size, there are over 2,000 things that they sort of go through with a fine-tooth comb. And so 11 findings is very significant in that only three were medical. And so the other eight of the 11 were just facility issues, doors, pressures, things of that nature. So I could just say if we were grading ourselves, we probably got like a 99.1%. on that. So truly just a tribute to the team, to what we do, to how we do it, and definitely the mindset of wanting to be of service to others.
Well, and what that really means to our community is if you're going there for medical care, you have confidence in knowing that they're going to take really good care of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that sort of transitions into another area you and I spoke about when I was in your office that our audience needs to hear about, which is the strength and developing relationships that you have within the community hospitals in El Paso, private sector and public.
Yes, sir. And so when we talk about that, it's always near and dear to us to make sure that we're collaborators, we're connectors, and we're synchronized within not only the installation, but our community partners as well. And so don't want to be in competition with anyone. It's all about collaboration and how can we improve what we do. And so right now we're partnered. We have some external sharing resource agreements where a lot of our surgeons will go out in the community and perform some surgeries out there. Trauma surgeons, we're definitely all bought in. And so what I can tell you is the fellowship trained surgeons that we have within our facility are bar none top notch. They're highly rated, they're highly ranked, and they're highly sought after. Sergeant Major?
No, I would just say that so we have those partnerships. I mean, just the simple fact is you know, a lot of our teammates are El Pasoans, right? So we employ the community. I think that makes us richer. Our patients, we obviously have our active duty population assigned to Fort Bliss, but in the veteran care that we work with the VA to treat, those are El Pasoans. When we look at we're a training hospital, a teaching hospital, we have a graduate medical education. We train some of our enlisted technicians, but we have several partnerships with local hospitals and the universities on military training agreements. We even collaborate in our research side of the hospital here with UTEP. So we are very connected and integrated with the community. So Fort Bliss says that Fort Bliss is El Paso and El Paso is Fort Bliss. And I think that is really shown through our community partnerships to William Belmont as well.
Yeah, I've talked to various friends who are physicians or involved with hospital administration in the community. And they speak about specifically about the strength of your trauma surgeons as an example. It's just one example.
Yes, sir.
Right. And how their experiences lent to their training of their trauma surgeons or hopeful trauma surgeons within their educational environment. And I think that's what you're touching on to some extent.
Yes, sir. And then when Sergeant Major speaks of the GME programs, which is our graduate medical education, we have a total of 18, 10 being baccalaureate or doctoral, and then 8 is our enlisted proponent. So phase 2 sites for quite a few of them, whether there are OR techs or our licensed vocational nurses, so or our lab technicians, our radiology techs. So a lot of things that we do within our facility to ensure that folks are prepared when they go out to their next, whether it's back in the reserve population service in the community, and we have a lot of folks who are within the area, or definitely from Texas, or whether it's going on to other military medical facilities, just to make sure we keep up within that pipeline to make sure people are trained to take care of our beneficiaries appropriately.
I can tell you historically, although I can't name them right now, a number of former military doctors, surgeons in particular, orthopedic surgeons, mm-hmm. to be very specific, when they retired at Beaumont, stayed in our community and practiced here. And of course, the benefit to the community is their experience in orthopedic surgery goes somewhat beyond what a traditional orthopedic surgeon might experience having not served in the military, because they're deployed overseas, they're dealing with unique injuries.
Yes, sir.
Soldiers go through, because they've got a backpack on that's 75 or 80 pounds, and they're complaining about their knees and their lower back. And it's kind of a unique environment you don't normally get exposed to in the civilian side.
Yes, sir, and just the austere environment that we have to function in as well, and the skill set and the mindset to be able to adapt and be flexible and innovative. And so when we talk about being innovative, those are things that we look forward at opportunities as well. We can't stay status quo and maintain our relevancy as we move forward. So the trajectory of William Beaumont and Army medicine or the military healthcare system in general, we continue to involve and do what we can to ensure that we're doing our best to take care of our population.
So correct me if I'm wrong on this, and if I'm not wrong, it'll be the first time today, but there is a VA clinic located right between the Medical Center of the Americas building on Gateway East and Texas Tech Medical School. Is there not?
Yes, I believe it is.
Yeah,
they have a few smaller locations throughout El Paso.
Okay.
The largest VA clinic is at the old William Beaumont campus.
Yes.
And that's what we will replace by the new facility that's being built on the current William Beaumont
campus.
Right.
I think the one that I just mentioned is an outpatient services.
Yes, it's what they call a CBOC.
Sort of
yes, sir.
A convenience more than anything else. So before we went on the air, you mentioned a program, Sergeant Major, the Grade A Leapfrog Patient Safety Indicator. That's a mouthful. I had to write it down so I didn't get it wrong. But I think our audience would love to hear a little bit about how this program evolved and what's taking place there.
So similar to the Joint Commission that Colonel Gray talked about, where we're being graded on everything from healthcare delivery to safety to facilities to patient privacy, all those things are being graded. This is Leapfrog is another external body that focuses specifically on patient safety. And so we just received our grade A designator for this year. But because we have been historically receiving grade A, I think for the last 4 years, I believe, we are now given the report card of grade A. So what does that mean? That means someone other than us.
I was just gonna ask.
That means somebody other than us looks in externally, grades us across the full spectrum of our patient safety and says, hey, this is one of the top-rated safe hospitals, across the standard that we grade hospitals across the U.S. So we're proud of that because it recognizes what we are really committed to is not only providing quality care, but safe care and making sure our patients are taken care of appropriately.
Thank you. Now, we didn't discuss this before we went on the air, so I don't mean to throw this at you, but while you were speaking, Colonel, it just triggered a thought for me. There's another partnership that you all have with the community in the form of air evacuation services for emergencies, correct?
Yes, sir.
So if you could talk a little bit about that and its importance.
And so, sir, when we talk about the partnerships, just making sure that everyone understands the roles, responsibilities, and capacities of William Beaumont. Their air evacuation, we have a helipad. We take traumas. We're a level 3N trauma facility as well. So we have that designator. And so folks, if there is a trauma, if there is something going on, please don't bypass William Beaumont. We would definitely want you to come to us because we do provide that level of excellence and that level of care. And it gives us an opportunity to showcase that. So when we're talking about patient safety and a high reliability organization, we pride ourselves on that. And just making sure that we're doing our best to take care of all the beneficiaries and those customers that walk through our door. So we have an emergency room that's open 24/7. So EMS can definitely head our way and they will understand.
Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Come
this,
on.
I know that this is, I'm probably going to get chewed out by somebody about this, but because I know it's somewhat political. But in fact, it's been an ongoing battle forever, not just in El Paso, but across the nation. So a patient has an emergency that's such that they're actually in an EMS vehicle. It's difficult sometimes during that moment of panic to start with, right?
Yes, sir.
And trauma, for someone to raise their hand and say, I want to go to this hospital or I want to go to that hospital.
Yes, sir.
But they do have the right to ask to be taken to Beaumont.
Yes, sir.
You can't say that, but I can. So that's why I did. And please stop calling me sir. Okay. All right. So.
And so I think with that, a key point that Colonel Gray just highlighted is we didn't have a trauma designation for a few years. Just last summer, we were able to, as she mentioned, getting our level 3 in for neurosurgery, level 3N designator, and we're also now Texas State registered as well. So we are a listed trauma center at the level 3. Yes, sir.
I know on many occasions over the years, I've read after the fact a story in the paper or watched a news story on television where perhaps there was a very serious incident, an accident on 54 in a more remote area, somewhere between Alamogordo and El Paso, not terribly convenient for an EMS vehicle to get to in a timely fashion, where you all have stepped in with your air service.
Yes, sir.
To bring those patients and, in many cases, as a result, save lives because of the timeliness of that delivery service, correct?
Yes, sir. And when we speak of just the commitment and the collaboration within a community, just with the border rack as well, we've had a couple of instances within the community when we had the water issue. And so the pipe burst, and so people were without water. And so we partnered with them, bottled waters, and even our garrison, you know, reached out and got water buffaloes out within the community. So there are different levels in which we're engaged and committed to being great partners across El Paso. As Sergeant Major said, El Paso is Fort Bliss, and Fort Bliss is El Paso, and we're in it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because a lot of people didn't realize the role you all played, both the garrison and Beaumont,
yes, sir,
in helping the community out in Northeast when that failure happened several weeks ago now, and hopefully never again. But there's another side of this, because you mentioned earlier about going through the Joint Commission accreditation this last fall.
Yes.
At a time when, unfortunately, there was a government shutdown. And many people don't realize this. They see green suiters and they assume, okay, green suiters, that's it. But you have a lot of civilian employees working at Beaumont.
Yes, sir.
Many of whom, in fact, all of whom were negatively impacted by the shutdown because they were not getting paid. And I know for a fact that there were some efforts within the private sector of our community, including the El Pasoans Fighting Hunger Food Bank, who came out there to help those families and provide them food.
You know, it just brings me back to the point of creating and establishing relationships early on. So when you need them, they're actually there and you don't have to foster them at that point. And so just the 43 days of not getting paid. And so some of our our healthcare workers would live paycheck to paycheck. And so it was vital for us to come up and get very just creative of how we were going to make sure that our folks, number one, felt valued. Number two, felt like we understood the plight in which they were dealing with. And so coming to work. And so I was joking around with Major General Taylor and I said, sir, there were a lot of other military treatment facilities that degraded services. They cut back on their pharmacy hours. They cut back on how many clinics were open. We didn't do any of that. We had no degradation of services. As a matter of fact, we had 1-2% call out within all of our clinics and across the organization. And we had some great partners. And so El Paso Fighting Hunger, 1,500 boxes of food. And that was vegetables, that was starches, that was all of those things. And we did a drive-through, and our teammates just came through and got the food. And so we are grateful for the partnerships we have within the community. And we stand ready to be able to support them however we can moving forward.
Beautifully stated. Thank you. And since you kept calling me sir, I'm going to start calling you ma'am. For those of you who tuned in perhaps a few minutes late into our show, we're visiting with Colonel Wendy Gray, who's the commander of William Beaumont Army Medical Center, and her command Sergeant Major Skaggs, who takes orders beautifully. He gets out there and gets it done, doesn't he?
He does. He does. An amazing battle buddy. Amazing battle buddy. And sometimes he leads the fight and I have his six. And sometimes we flip-flop. But definitely, I'm grateful to have such amazing battle buddy with him.
Well, it's great to have you both on the show. We have a few minutes left. So I've kind of gone through pretty much all of my questions I felt were critical to share with our audience. But I'd like for you each take a moment and share some closing thoughts with our audience about something you want them to know, either about you personally or about the organization you represent.
I'll let my battle buddy go first.
So I think one of the, I'll talk to the honest, one of the things I talk to our teammates internally about is, you know, there's a lot of high quality medical treatment facilities within El Paso, and they're great, and we can collaborate and work together. The distinction for us, though, is we're the only ones that do military medicine. And so what does that mean? So our beneficiaries, a lot of them are active duty or veterans. We have other beneficiaries throughout the community. But we aren't just in the business of delivering health care. We're also building readiness. So every time we get to treat a patient and give them excellent health care and improve health outcomes, we're actually training ourselves a little bit every time. So we mentioned the training programs we have, but we're also talking about those reps and sets that keep you proficient in your skills. Because sometimes we have to go in austere environments and dangerous areas and do that to save lives on the battlefield. And so every day that we get to be a member of the El Paso community and treat patients in El Paso and deliver this quality health care, we're also generating readiness that's going to keep our warfighters safe when we have to come into harm's way. So we're really proud of that.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that really is an important aspect of the work that you do that the average civilian is not aware of, even those who may have served, but certainly for the many who have not, to recognize just how critical that training you mentioned, and you called them reps and sets, to, you know, if you perform one surgery only,
yes, sir,
you're not proficient yet. But as the 30th knee you replaced, you're a lot better at it than you were the first time, right?
Yes, definitely. And just for me, I will piggyback on a few things that Command Sergeant Major Skaggs alluded to. And one of them is in the environment that we are currently in, I need my folks to be ready. I need them to be ready, because I would hate for sons and daughters of a lot of our folks out in the community to be at the hands of someone who does not have the experience. And when they're on a battlefield and they're yelling, "Doc," I need somebody who's proficient to ensure the sons and daughters make it home. And you know, I'm proud to be part of Team Beaumont. I tell the team every single day that I don't take it for granted that I get an opportunity to come and work with some phenomenal professionals. The El Paso community, I can tell you, prior to coming here, never would have imagined that I would have enjoyed it as much as I did. I come and as soon as the plane was landing, I was like, we're in the middle of the desert. Where do you have me? But it's been so much more than that. Just the level of collaboration across the board for allowing a lot of our folks to go into some of, whether it's Texas, Texas Tech or UTEP to be able to come and do some of the partnerships. A lot of the community hospitals, we have memorandums of understanding to be able to go into some of those facilities and actually get some training. So definitely just grateful for that opportunity. And the last thing that I would say, Sergeant Major says that he gets to drive over some mountains and he sees a lot of medical treatment facilities, but it's only one, William Beaumont. And I pride ourselves on being not the military treatment facility by chance, but the military treatment facility of choice.
Thank you. Great closing statement. Thank you both again for being on the show with us. For our regular listeners, you're accustomed to this already, but I'm going to repeat it anyway. You're listening to KTEP, your NPR station for the Southwest. We are a nonprofit, and at no time in our history, in our country, have we needed your support more. If you're already a member, thank you. If you're not yet a member, well, we're going to make it easy for you. You go on our website, ktep.org, click on the donate button, make a pledge. Better yet, become a sustaining member. Charge it to your credit card on a monthly basis or deduct it from your bank account. It's the cost of a latte. One day, you skip that latte and make that your pledge per month, and you'll feel better about it, and it'll be better for your health as well. That said, we wish you all a great Saturday afternoon.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. Views expressed by the host and guest don't necessarily reflect those of KTEP. For inquiries about our public affairs programming, email ktep@utep.edu. Richard Dayoub appears courtesy of Thunderbird Consulting. The producer and editor is Daisy Morales. The show is recorded at the Communication Department at the University of Texas at El Paso. To learn more about the program or to listen to past episodes, visit ktep.org.